Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is terrific Tuesday. Welcome to the Thinking Grow Rich call. I apologize for making you wait here a couple of minutes this morning. This is Paul Hutchings dialing in from Southeast Idaho, and it is April 3rd, 2012. I want to welcome you to the call. We have an amazing message to go through this morning. We're jumping into Chapter 8 of the book Think and Grow Rich. This is one of my all-time favorite chapters of this book. It's entitled Decision, The Mastery of Procrastination, The Seventh Step Toward Riches. Accurate analysis of over 25,000 men and women who had experienced failure disclosed the fact that lack of decision was near the head of the list of the 30 major causes of failure. This is no mere statement of theory, it is a fact. Procrastination, the opposite of decision, is a common enemy which practically every man must conquer. You will have an opportunity to test your capacity to reach quick and definite decisions when you finish reading this book and are ready to begin putting into action the principles which it describes. Analysis of several hundred people who had accumulated fortunes well beyond the $1 million mark disclosed the fact that every one of them had the habit of reaching decisions promptly and of changing these decisions slowly if and when they were changed. People who fail to accumulate money without exception have the habit of reaching decisions, if at all, very slowly, and the habit of changing these decisions quickly and often. One of Henry Ford's most outstanding qualities is his habit of reaching decisions quickly and definitely and changing them slowly. This quality is so pronounced in Mr. Ford that it has given him the reputation of being obstinate. It was this quality which prompted Mr. Ford to continue the manufacture of his famous Model T, the world's ugliest car, when all of his advisors and many of the purchasers of the car were urging him to change it. Perhaps Mr. Ford delayed too long in making the change, but the other side of the story is that Mr. Ford's firmness of decision yielded a huge fortune before the change in the model became necessary. There is but little doubt that Mr. Ford's habit of definiteness of decision assumes the proportion of obstinacy, but this quality is preferable to slowness in reaching decisions and quickness in changing them. The majority of people who fail to accumulate money sufficient for their needs are, generally, easily influenced by the opinions of others. They permit the newspapers and the gossiping neighbors to do their thinking for them. Opinions are the cheapest commodities on earth. Everyone has a flock of opinions ready to be wished upon anyone who will accept them. If you are influenced by opinions when you reach decisions, you will not succeed in any undertaking, much less in that of transmuting your own desire into money. If you are influenced by the opinions of others, you will have no desire of your own. Keep your own counsel when you begin to put into practice the principles described here by reaching your own decisions and following them. Take no one into your confidence except the members of your mastermind group, and be very sure in your selection of this group that you choose only those who will be in complete sympathy and harmony with your purpose. Close friends and relatives, while not meaning to do so, often handicap one through opinions and sometimes through ridicule, which is meant to be humorous. Thousands of men and women carry inferiority complexes with them all through life because some well-meaning but ignorant person destroyed their confidence through opinions or ridicule. You have a brain and mind of your own. Use it and reach your own decisions. If you need facts or information from other people to enable you to reach decisions, as you probably will in many instances, acquire these facts or secure the information you need quietly without disclosing your purpose. It is characteristic of people who have but a smattering or a veneer of knowledge to try to give the impression that they have much knowledge. Such people generally do too much talking and too little listening. Keep your eyes and ears wide open and your mouth closed if you wish to acquire the habit of prompt decision. Those who talk too much do little else. If you talk more than you listen, you not only deprive yourself of many opportunities to accumulate useful knowledge, but you also disclose your plans and purposes to people who will take great delight in defeating you because they envy you. Oh, give me just one second here. Remember also that every time you open your mouth in the presence of a person who has an abundance of knowledge, you display to that person your exact stock of knowledge or your lack of it. Genuine wisdom is usually conspicuous through modesty and silence. Keep in mind the fact that every person with whom you associate is like yourself, seeking the opportunity to accumulate money. If you talk about your plans too freely, you may be surprised when you learn that some other person has beaten you to your goal by putting into action ahead of you the plans of which you talked unwisely. Let one of your first decisions be to keep a closed mouth and open ears and eyes. As a reminder to yourself to follow this advice, it will be helpful if you copy the following epigram in large letters and place it where you see it daily. Tell the world what you intend to do, but first show it. This is the equivalent of saying that deeds and not words are what count most. Freedom or death on a decision. The value of decisions depends upon the courage required to render them. The great decisions, which served as the foundation for civilization, were reached by assuming great risks, which often meant the possibility of death. Lincoln's decision to issue his famous Proclamation of Emancipation, which gave freedom to the colored people of America, was rendered with full understanding that his act would turn thousands of friends and political supporters against him. He knew, too, that carrying out of that proclamation would mean death to thousands of men on the battlefield. In the end, it cost Lincoln his life. That required courage. Socrates' decision to drink the cup of poison rather than compromise his personal belief was a decision of courage. It turned time ahead 1,000 years and gave to people then unborn the right to freedom of thought and speech. The decision of General Robert E. Lee when he came to the parting of the way with the Union and took up the cause of the South was a decision of courage, for he well knew that it might cost him his own life, that it would surely cost the lives of others. But the greatest decision of all time, as far as any American citizen is concerned, was reached in Philadelphia, July 4, 1776, when 56 men signed their names to a document which they well knew would bring freedom to all Americans or leave every one of the 56 hanging from a gallows. You have heard of this famous document, but you may not have drawn from it the great lesson in personal achievement it so plainly taught. We all remember the date of this momentous decision, but few of us realize what courage the decision required. We remember our history as it was taught. We remember dates and the names of the men who fought. We remember Valley Forge and Yorktown. We remember George Washington and Lord Cornwallis, but we know little of the real forces back of these names, dates, and places. We know still less of that intangible power which ensured us freedom long before Washington's armies reached Yorktown. We read the history of the Revolution and falsely imagine that George Washington was the father of our country, that it was he who won our freedom. While the truth is, Washington was only an accessory after the fact, because victory for his armies had been ensured long before Lord Cornwallis surrendered. This is not intended to rob Washington of any of the glory he so richly merited. Its purpose, rather, is to give greater attention to the astounding power that was the real cause of his victory. It is nothing short of tragedy that the writers of history have missed entirely even the slightest reference to the irresistible power which gave birth and freedom to the nation destined to set up new standards of independence for all the peoples of the earth. I say it is a tragedy because it is the selfsame power which must be used by every individual who surmounts the difficulties of life and forces life to pay the price asked. Let us briefly review the events which gave birth to this power. The story begins with an incident in Boston, March 5, 1770. British soldiers were patrolling the streets, by their presence openly threatening the citizens. The colonists resented armed men marching in their midst. They began to express their resentment openly, hurling stones as well as epithets at the marching soldiers until the commanding officer gave orders, "Fix bayonets! Charge!" The battle was on. It resulted in the death and injury of many. The incident aroused such resentment that the provincial assembly, made up of prominent colonists, called a meeting for the purpose of taking definite action. Two of the members of that assembly were John Hancock and Samuel Adams. Long live their names. They spoke up courageously and declared that a move must be made to eject all British soldiers from Boston. Remember this. A decision in the minds of two men might properly be called the beginning of the freedom which we of the United States now enjoy. Remember, too, that the decision of these two men called for faith and courage because it was dangerous. Before the assembly adjourned, Samuel Adams was appointed to call on the governor of the province, Hutchinson, and demand the withdrawal of the British troops. The request was granted, the troops were removed from Boston, but the incident was not closed. It had caused a situation destined to change the entire trend of civilization. Strange is it not how the great changes, such as the American Revolution and the World War, often have their beginnings in circumstances which seem unimportant. It is interesting also to observe that these important changes usually begin in the form of a definite decision in the minds of a relatively small number of people. Few of us know the history of our country well enough to realize that John Hancock, Samuel Adams, and Richard Henry Lee of the province of Virginia were the real fathers of our country. Richard Henry Lee became an important factor in the story by reason of the fact that he and Samuel Adams communicated frequently by correspondence, sharing freely their fears and their hopes concerning the welfare of the people of their provinces. From this practice, Adams conceived the idea that a mutual exchange of letters between the 13 colonies might help to bring about the coordination of efforts so badly needed in connection with the solution of their problems. 2 years after the clash with the soldiers in Boston, March of 72, Adams presented this idea to the Assembly in the form of a motion that a correspondence committee be established among the colonies, with definitely appointed correspondents in each colony, for the purpose of friendly cooperation for the betterment of the colonies of British America. Mark well this incident. It was the beginning of the organization of the far-flung power destined to give freedom to you and to me. The mastermind had already been organized. It consisted of Adams, Lee, and Hancock. I tell you further that if two of you agree upon the earth concerning anything for which you seek, it will come to you from my Father who is in heaven. The committee of correspondence was organized. Observe that this move provided the way for increasing the power of the mastermind by adding to it men from all the colonies. Take notice that this procedure constituted the first organized planning of the disgruntled colonists. In union, there is strength. The citizens of the colonies had been waging disorganized warfare against the British soldiers through incidents similar to the Boston riot. But nothing of benefit had been accomplished. Their individual grievances had not been consolidated under one mastermind. No group of individuals had put their hearts, minds, souls, and bodies together in one definite decision to settle their difficulty with the British once and for all, until Adams, Hancock, and Lee got together. Meanwhile, the British were not idle. They, too, were doing some planning and masterminding on their own account, with the advantage of having back of them money and organized soldiery. The Crown appointed Gage to supplant Hutchinson as the governor of Massachusetts. One of the new governor's first acts was to send a messenger to call on Samuel Adams for the purpose of endeavoring to stop his opposition by fear. We can best understand the spirit of what happened by quoting the conversation between Colonel Fenton, the messenger sent by Gage, and Adams. Colonel Fenton, I have been authorized by Governor Gage to assure you, Mr. Adams, that the governor has been in power to confer upon you such benefits as would be satisfactory. And this was an endeavor to win Adams by promise of bribes, upon the condition that you engage to cease in your opposition to the measures of the government. It is the governor's advice to you, sir, not to incur the further displeasure of His Majesty. Your conduct has been such as makes you liable to penalties of Henry VIII, by which persons can be sent to England for trial for treason or misprison of treason at the discretion of a governor of a province. But by changing your political course, you will not only receive great personal advantages, but you will make your peace with the king. Samuel Adams had the choice of two decisions. He could cease his opposition and receive personal bribes, or he could continue and run the risk of being hanged. Clearly, the time had come when Adams was forced to reach instantly a decision which could have cost his life. The majority of men would have found it difficult to reach such a decision. The majority would have sent back an evasive reply, but not Adams. He insisted upon Colonel Fenton's word of honor that the colonel would deliver to the governor the answer exactly as Adams would give it to him. Adams' answer. Then you may tell Governor Gage that I trust I have long since made my peace with the King of Kings. No personal consideration shall induce me to abandon the righteous cause of my country. And tell Governor Gage it is the advice of Samuel Adams to him to no longer insult the feelings of an exasperated people. Comment as to the character of this man seems unnecessary. It must be obvious to all who are reading this astounding message that its sender possessed loyalty of the highest order. This is important. Racketeers and dishonest politicians have prostituted the honor for which such men as Adams died. When Governor Gage received Adams' caustic reply, he flew into a rage and issued a proclamation which read, "I do hereby, in His Majesty's name, offer and promise His most gracious pardon to all persons who shall forthwith lay down their arms and return to the duties of peaceable subjects, accepting only from the benefit of such pardon Samuel Adams and John Hancock, whose offenses are too flagitious in nature to admit any other consideration but that of condign punishment." As one might say in modern slang, Adams and Hancock were on the spot. The threat of the irate governor forced these two men to reach another decision, equally as dangerous. They hurriedly called a secret meeting of their staunchest followers. Here the mastermind began to take momentum. After the meeting had been called to order, Adams locked the door, placed the key in his pocket, and informed all present that it was imperative that a Congress of the colonists be organized, and that no man should leave the room until the decision for such a Congress had been reached. Great excitement followed. Some weighed the possible consequences of such radicalism, old man fear. Some expressed grave doubt as to the wisdom of so definite a decision in defiance of the crown. Locked in that room were two men immune to fear, blind to the possibility of failure, Hancock and Adams. Through the influence of their minds, the others were induced to agree that through the Correspondence Committee, arrangements should be made for a meeting of the First Continental Congress to be held in Philadelphia, September 5, 1774. Remember this date. It is more important than July 4, 1776. If there had been no decision to hold a Continental Congress, there could have been no signing of the Declaration of Independence. Before the first meeting of the new Congress, another leader in a very different section of the country was deep in the throes of publishing a summary view of the rights of British America. He was Thomas Jefferson of the province of Virginia, whose relationship to Lord Dunmore, the representative of the crown in Virginia, was as strained as that of Hancock and Adams with their governor. Shortly after his famous summary of rights was published, Jefferson was informed that he was subject to prosecution for high treason against His Majesty's government. Inspired by the threat, one of Jefferson's colleagues, Patrick Henry, boldly spoke his mind, concluding his remarks with a sentence which shall remain forever a classic: "If this be treason, then make the most of it." It was such men as these who, without power, without authority, without military strength, without money, sat in solemn consideration of the destiny of the colonies, beginning at the opening of the First Continental Congress and continuing at intervals for 2 years until, on June 7, 1776, Richard Henry Lee arose, addressed the chair, and to the startled assembly made this motion: "Gentlemen, I make the motion that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they be absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved." Lee's astounding motion was discussed fervently and at such length that he began to lose patience. Finally, after days of argument, he again took the floor and declared in a clear, firm voice, "Mr. President, we have discussed this issue for days. It is the only course for us to follow. Why then, sir, do we longer delay? Why still deliberate? Let this happy day give birth to an American republic. Let her arise not to devastate and to conquer, but to reestablish the reign of peace and of law. The eyes of Europe are fixed upon us. She demands of us a living example of freedom that may exhibit a contrast in the felicity of the citizen to the ever-increasing tyranny." Before his motion was finally voted upon, Lee was called back to Virginia because of serious family illness. But before leaving, he placed his cause in the hands of his friend Thomas Jefferson, who promised to fight until favorable action was taken. Shortly thereafter, the president of the Congress, Hancock, appointed Jefferson as chairman of a committee to draw up a Declaration of Independence. Long and hard the committee labored on a document which would mean, when accepted by Congress, that every man who signed it would be signing his own death warrant should the colonies lose in the fight with Great Britain, which was sure to follow. The document was drawn, and on June 28th, the original draft was read before the Congress. For several days it was discussed, altered, and made ready. On July 4th, 1776, Thomas Jefferson stood before the assembly and fearlessly read the most momentous decision ever placed upon paper. When, in the course of human events, it is necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. When Jefferson finished, the document was voted upon, accepted, and signed by the 56 men, every one staking his own life upon his decision to write his name. By that decision came into existence a nation destined to bring to mankind forever the privilege of making decisions. By decisions made in a similar spirit of faith, and only by such decisions can men solve their personal problems and win for themselves high states of material and spiritual wealth. Let us not forget this. Analyze the events which led to the Declaration of Independence and be convinced that this nation, which now holds a position of commanding respect and power among all nations of the world, was born of a decision created by a mastermind consisting of 56 men. Note well the fact that it was their decision which ensured the success of Washington's armies, because the spirit of that decision was in the heart of every soldier who fought with him and served as a spiritual power which recognizes no such thing as failure. Note also, with great personal benefit, that the power which gave this nation its freedom is the self-same power that must be used by every individual who becomes self-determining. This power is made up of the principles described in this book. It will not be difficult to detect in the story of the Declaration of Independence at least six of these principles: desire, decision, faith, persistence, the mastermind, and organized planning. Throughout this philosophy will be found the suggestion that thought, backed by strong desire, has a tendency to transmute itself into its physical equivalent. Before passing on, I wish to leave you with the suggestion that one may find in this story and in the story of the organization of the United States Steel Corporation a perfect description of the method by which thought makes this astounding transformation. In your search for the secret of the method, do not look for a miracle, because you will not find it. You will find only the eternal laws of nature. These laws are available to every person who has the faith and the courage to use them. They may be used to bring freedom to a nation or to accumulate riches. There is no charge save the time necessary to understand and appropriate them. Those who reach decisions promptly and definitely know what they want and generally get it. The leaders in every walk of life decide quickly and firmly. That is the major reason why they are leaders. The world has the habit of making room for the man whose words and actions show that he knows where he is going. Indecision is a habit which usually begins in youth. The habit takes on permanency as the youth goes through graded school, high school, and even through college without definiteness of purpose. The major weakness of all educational systems is that they neither teach nor encourage the habit of definite decision. It would be beneficial if no college would permit the enrollment of any student unless and until the student declared his major purpose in matriculating. It would be of still greater benefit if every student who enters the graded schools were compelled to accept training in the habit of decision and forced to pass a satisfactory examination on this subject before being permitted to advance in the grades. The habit of indecision, acquired because of the deficiencies of our school system, goes with the student into the occupation he chooses, if, in fact, he chooses his occupation. Generally, the youth just out of school seeks any job that can be found. He takes the first place he finds because he has fallen into the habit of indecision. 98 out of every 100 people working for wages today are in the positions they hold because they lacked the definiteness of decision to plan a definite position and the knowledge of how to choose an employer. Definiteness of decision always requires courage, sometimes very great courage. The 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence staked their lives on the decision to affix their signatures to that document. The person who reaches a definite decision to procure the particular job and make life pay the price he asks does not stake his life on that decision. He stakes his economic freedom, financial independence, riches, desirable business, and professional positions are not within the reach of the person who neglects or refuses to expect, plan, and demand these things. The person who desires riches in the same spirit that Samuel Adams desired freedom for the colonies is sure to accumulate wealth. In the chapter on organized planning, you will find complete instructions for marketing every type of personal services. You will find also detailed information on how to choose the employer you prefer and the particular job you desire. These instructions will be of no value to you unless you definitely decide to organize them into a plan of action. So, ladies and gentlemen, decision, very, 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 very powerful principle in obtaining whatever we wish to obtain within our lives. Excited for the discussion. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines here. Star 6 to unmute your line. Come on out. Let us know what you think.
Hey, Paul.
Good morning, Melvin.
You said something about school there, and I was just thinking, where may I or any of us be if someone had taken the time in high school to help us realize what our true desires or wishes may have been by having us give some serious thought to us and helped us to bring out maybe three of those and It would be amazing if someone had just spent the time doing that, letting us know the importance of those things we think about and feel and what the possibilities there, rather than doing what most of us have done, was just look for a job. So I can see the value of that is truly amazing. Until this day, it's still not being done. Back to you.
Appreciate those thoughts, Melvin, and absolutely the world would be a much different place and can be if we would instill those ideas within ourselves and in others. It's what do you want for dinner? I don't know if you ever go through that in your household. You're getting ready to go out to eat. Where would you like to eat? I don't know. Where would you like to eat? I don't know. Where would you like to eat? I mean, back and forth, decisions. Learn to make decisions. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning. Rick from California.
Good morning, Rick from California. Welcome to the call.
Hey, thank you. This is a great topic and great to follow yesterday's, day before yesterday's topic. Decision is really a one-way street. That really, when you decide to do something, there's no turning back. You decide to do something and you push forward. That's what it is. It's a real meaning of decision. And so, the meaning of it has pretty much been watered down. People are so afraid to commit in these days and these times, and that is an issue, a big issue that will basically water down society, And it's very important topic that really and truly, and when you're really out there talking to people, you have to get a serious commitment from people. If you're going to spend invest your time with people and pour your hearts and labor and sweat into people. You got to come to that decision and have them come to a decision. It's not just that they're getting into business with you and you're going to pour your time and take time from your family to help develop them so they can get what it is they want. And that, knowing what you want is very important, but this I remember from this very Declaration of Independence, I believe, isn't it where the quote came from? We shall all hang together, or we should all hang separately. Isn't that the signing of the Declaration of Independence where they came to that agreement?
Could be. I can't remember for sure. But yeah, that does sound familiar.
We must all hang together, or shortly we must all hang separately, because they would go to their death. In other words, they were willing to die for this, to be free. And so you have to come to those decisions, because, you know, mental slavery itself is a terrible thing. And obviously you are responsible for that yourself. But you see, you know, picture yourself in a boat, and everybody and the boat is going down, and you're there not doing anything, and you're just sitting there watching it. You're part of the problem. You're part of the issue. And you're just standing by watching the boat go down. And when you start to help, and everybody get together and make a decision that, hey, we're going to do everything we can, you know, and if it still go down, where we know that, hey, listen, you know what, we did everything we can to save that boat. And that comes with a decision. Decide now what you're going to do. Hey, thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
Rick, always appreciate your comments. Really, really appreciate those words you have to share with us. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning. This is Sean Miller in Sacramento.
Good morning, Sean. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. It's my first time talking to you. I really enjoyed this and was make sure I do it every morning. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Every morning, Monday through Friday. Welcome. Appreciate that. Star 6. Any questions, comments, thoughts on decision?
Paul, good morning. It's Doc Fran.
Good morning, Doc Fran.
I'm actually surprised that after learning that wisdom is indicated through modesty and silence, that anybody spoke up this morning.
Great point.
Was hesitating whether to. But you know, these are absolutely, as we all know, great principles in life, and I want to kind of bring it back and direct it. Before I do that, I was going to bring it back and direct it to our business purpose of the call here. My wife, Nancy, was sitting here with me listening to the call this morning, which is a real blessing, because normally she's either teaching or doing yoga. And when you finished reading the chapter, she said, you know, that those same types of decisions were repeated by our generation, those of us that are in our 60s at this point and who lived through a government's decision to continue to wage war, an unpopular war, in Vietnam. And there were many discussions among student groups of the same caliber. So this is an indomitable force that exists. We are endowed with inalienable rights. And the courage to express those is present in every person at every point of their life. And so it is so exciting to read. And the way that Napoleon Hill described the decisions that were made that shaped the very freedoms and life that each of us enjoy today really communicated solidly to me the beauty of this innate courage that exists in all of us. And it exists in all of us because we are all created with that divine essence within us that allows us to have and manifest all of those traits. So back to the business decision, this whole behavior pattern, which was described by Napoleon Hill, is exactly what causes that phenomenon in our chosen industry of the jumpers. And people make decisions which they are quick to reverse because of being seduced constantly by a phrase made popular in music in the 60s and 70s, again, the lure of easy money, idea that there will be quick and easy riches that flow if they jump on this new XYZ company. And yet all of us on the phone, I'm certain, have understood and experienced the fact that true success and true abundance and true accumulation of material wealth through this industry only occurs when you have a persistent course of action within the framework of one company for the time necessary for that to accrue to you. Back to you, Paul.
Excellent comments as always, Doc, and really appreciate your insight and also your relation to of these principles that we're covering to our industry, how true it is. We look around everywhere in our industry and see, unfortunately, the syndrome of people who, they make a decision, but they don't make a decision. They make a decision to join, maybe get a little start, and then they, jump ship, jump here, jump there. And unfortunately, it's very easy to see, as you pointed out, that when you do that, you really obtain no lasting benefit to your financial freedom. And you also lose, in most cases, the credibility that you've gained with the people that you're endeavoring to follow. So very, very powerful lesson that we can take away as network marketers from this discussion, this chapter. Absolutely, make a decision, make a well-thought-out decision, understand the reasons for which that you're deciding to place your time and efforts with a company, and be very, very, very slow to change that decision once you know that you have, made a decision that is good and is sound and you're moving in the right direction. So really appreciate those thoughts. Star 6, who's next?
Yeah, this is Rick again. I wanted to piggyback off of what you just said, Paul, and that is when it comes to jumping and jumping around like a little frog, a lot of times people do things without having the actual facts. I mean, that is so important. People make decisions or quickly change their minds, really, because they lack the facts about the information. They have incorrect information, and so they make incorrect decisions, and so, or make up their minds or whatever you want to use. But that's a crucial part of everything. People just hear somebody say something, a lot of hearsay, and don't really go and do their due diligence. And they want everything quickly, and so they don't take the time to research and gather the information, the facts, rather. That's pretty much it. Back to you.
Very, very good point, Rick. I think it was in one of our last chapters, we learned that unsuccessful people get in the habit of guessing instead of actually thinking and basing their decisions upon well thought out and well researched knowledge. So I appreciate that insight, Rick. Don't guess. Think, use our minds, process ideas, have good data, and use that information to make decisions that we can stand by. Excellent. Star 6, who's next? Don't be shy.
Well,
yes.
Good morning. This is Marlies.
Hi, Marlies. Good morning.
Good morning. I just find just hearing about this this again, and I know I joined originally your call when this also was covered, this particular chapter. I still remember being in such awe because, as he had pointed out, we usually just know about the dates and some facts. But what really cost, you know, this really the most incredible human experience, experiment on this earth, you know, to really be followed through on and to bring it into manifestation. What was really in back of that, I mean, it's just absolutely, absolutely powerful and amazing to me. Every child, everybody should hear about that. But I find also about decision making, what is so much more, what I find is also pointed out so much more by especially these two incredible individuals, is that they were still, what I believe, really connected within with God, with their innate wisdom. Because this is what they felt deep down in the soul, in the heart, what was really true and acceptable and just for humanity as a whole. And so it wasn't just from the head, this decision, but it was just really deep from within themselves. And that's why it also was so powerful in conveying this kind of feeling and this kind of purpose to everybody else who was gathered around them and were part of their power, the whole mastermind group, right? And so it is just absolutely amazing. And then I just have to smile and laugh to think in terms of what we are offering, especially also with our company, or actually any company, but then especially ours, which I consider to be the most incredible, most wonderful, the simplest way for us to get healthier and then also in the process get wealthier only by sharing it with other people of like mind, right? And being able to offer it to everyone, not just a selected few, but that everybody can benefit and therefore also change our world and humanity in such an incredible way, and to create a kind of level playing field where everybody can succeed and not just a few. So it is also for us to have the bigger vision of making a difference, not just in our own little world and maybe becoming financially independent, but mainly to really create the kind of, what I would consider paradise on earth, where everybody will have a very just happy and healthy and very abundantly blessed life, right? So I find, this decision for anybody to even see and understand what we have to offer, it's like the simplest thing on earth, right? You make a decision to just get a product that gets me healthier, that makes a difference, that makes it simpler for me to live my daily life, get the most nutrition, best nutrition into my body so I can think more clearly. And then, of course, it also becomes easier to make any kind of decisions and move forward, have the energy, have the clarity of thought, etc. So it is, if you think about what those men, what they did based on their decisions and putting their life on the line, and for us to do something as simple as this, it's just a huge, 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 charism, what do you call it, what is the word? It's just such a tremendous, tremendous difference in there. So I'm just so grateful to live in this time right now where we have this incredible opportunity without having to put our life on the line, but still follow our heart in helping other people to understand, to also follow their own instinct in their heart. Get connected with yourself, and you will be able to make decisions that are for your highest good. Learn to use kinesiology. Learn to pray and listen to the little voice, the small voice within. And you know you're going to be guided correctly that way. So I just wanted to add that little part to it yet. But I just love hearing, especially the story. I can hear it over and over again, and I want to just call a bunch of people. I said, you need to get on this call today and just hear that if you're one of those procrastinators. But thank you again that I can share this with you.
Marlise, very well said as always, and we definitely greatly appreciate your thoughts and insight and willingness to share great thoughts. Thank you.
Paul.
Yes.
Jack from Las Vegas.
Yes, good morning, Jack.
Hi, how are you? Sharon and I would just like to make a comment that we really appreciate you taking the time to do this every morning, and we are getting so much out of it, and our business is starting to thrive. Thank you again, and that's about it.
Thank you, Jack and Sharon. Really appreciate that, and thank you for being on this call in the morning and being able to extract the principles that we're all endeavoring to extract and apply into our lives. And I'm so excited to hear that your business is being impacted, and it will continue to be impacted dramatically as you stay plugged in and glean these powerful lessons that we're all learning. So thank you. Really appreciate that, Jack.
Well, Paul.
Morning. Morning, Paul.
This is Bill Wins.
I think Bill was first there. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, when a person makes a decision, a lot of times it's called buyer's remorse. And if we don't follow up personally with that individual just to help them understand the decision that they've made, a lot of times we leave it to emails or some other call or some other type of a training. When they just, since we're the ones that introduced them to a program, they look to us for help in reaffirming the decision that they made. And I think it's important that we have some type of a wrap-up script, that we make sure that we cover the things that they need to know so that they know that we're there to support them, not just the recalls and everything else, but that we are there to help them and support them personally. Back to you, Paul.
Great, great point. Thank you, Bill. There was a female voice there coming out with Bill. Who is that?
This is Anita Young.
Hey, Anita.
Hi. Well, you know, I was listening to people like that. They're not making decisions, you know, but they don't realize that whenever they don't make a decision, they just did. You know, it's either yes or no, not anything in between. And if they don't decide, that's a no. You know, and that's how I've always been taught anyway.
Great, great point. And so the decisions that we don't make, we're actually making a decision that's going to keep us in the same spot or maybe even move us backward.
Yeah.
So thank you. Appreciate that insight there, Anita.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
The comment she just made is extremely, extremely important because it's true that you're always, always making a decision every single time, whether you make one or don't make one, you're still making one. So it's not something a person can get around. It's just that one you have a little more control of, and the other you're just leaving it all up to chance. Back to you.
Yep, great, great, great insight, Melvin. Very true, folks. Excellent information. Who else wants to jump out here? Star 6, I'd love to hear from you. We've got a few minutes left here this morning.
Hello, this is Derek.
Hey, Derek. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. This is my first time on the call. I jumped on, it says 18 minutes ago. I just wanted to say good morning. I'm new to 124. I work third shift. I'm here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I plan on making the call most mornings right after my workout. So I just want to say good morning to everybody, and thanks for having me.
Well, good morning to you, Derek. Welcome to the team, and welcome to the call. Excited to hear your voice, and appreciate that commitment to be on the call. Thank you.
Paul?
Yes.
This is Lindy.
Hi, Lindy.
Hey, when we were listening to you reading this chapter, I was taken back to the beginning of the book where that captain made such a committed decision that he burnt the ships. There was no way to turn back and change their minds. It was either do or die. And, you know, that has stuck with me, that when you do make your decision, it needs to be a 100% committed decision to keep moving forward.
Absolutely. I so appreciate that, Lindy, and it's so true and relevant and valid and applicable to business. You know, it's sometimes I hear people say, I hope this works for me. And every time I hear that, my initial reaction and thought and the words that I share with people that I hear that from is, this will work for you if you make the decision that it will work. So I appreciate that, because when you join a business or when you decide to get moving on a plan of action to bring X amount of dollars into your life, the only thing that can really stop you is quitting, is stopping and letting, you know, some of the temporary setbacks knock you out of the game. But if you decide that you will win, even if it might take you 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, if you decide that you will win regardless of whatever setbacks come in your way, you've won. Just by making that decision, you have won, because you've, like you said, Lindy, you've eliminated any possibility, any option of retreat. And I just hope we can all make those firm decisions in our lives that we will win. We are going to win no matter what. So appreciate that. Star Six,
good morning,
who's next?
Paul, it's Greg Stadler.
Hey, the Stad Man. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Good morning, everyone. I've enjoyed the call today, and I just wanted to make one comment that goes right along with this. You know, I was told a long time ago that no money is made by thinking about it or learning about it. Taking action is the only thing that will produce. So, and you need to make a decision in order to do that, and you need to make a decision to stick with it. So that's all I've got to add. I enjoyed the call. Thank you.
Great comment, Greg. Appreciate that. Someone else is coming out there, a male voice, I thought, with Greg.
Cornelius, calling from Long Beach, California.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the call.
Yeah, I just called in just to I've experienced that a lot. I've tried a lot of different businesses where I've always tried to make them work, and so I give it a try, see how this thing goes. But I realized that never worked until now that I realized I have to make a decision. I will make this work no matter what, no matter who says what. I will make this work. And since that decision, a lot of things have come into place, a lot of information, a lot of people, and so I realized that attracts the way to success. Thanks for your call every day.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Anyone else?
Wow.
Star Six? Yeah, who's that?
Yeah,
hi,
you know,
this is Marina.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Marina.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you very much for these calls every morning you make. I try to be every morning on the call, but sometimes I miss like a couple points. But I always make a note, and I wanted to thank you guys very much because you are helping a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Really appreciate that. Who else was there? A male voice there.
Yeah,
this
is Rick. Yeah.
Hello.
Rick, go ahead. I think Rick was first. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay, yeah, well, I was saying, upon further review of decision, I look at this, and I'm going to do my own self-inventory on this as well, and then look at yourself. And when you make a decision, actually, by default, you're saying that I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. And actually, it's something I'm going to use in effect in myself as well, to take a look at that. And look a little further in the word decision, okay? Because by default, you're saying, I'm going to do all the steps that it takes to make this successful. Thanks for letting me back in. Appreciate it.
You bet. And was that Ernie there coming out with Rick? Or who was that? Maybe not Ernie. I know there was someone jumping out there with Rick, another male voice. Who was that? Come on out.
Oh, this is Richard from Dallas.
Hey, Richard, good morning.
Hey. Just want to let you know this is my first time on here. I signed up with you probably about a week and a half ago. I tell you what, I've been in a lot of other companies trying to, you know, survive. And you're right. The decision was mine to fail. I didn't, you know, jump full for, you know, with both feet in. And from what I found out with 124, that I've noticed that no other company has ever had that I've ever been in is a support group and the willingness to succeed as much as this company is willing to do, to sacrifice their own time to help others out. And I think that's just phenomenal. And, you know, with me having a wife and two kids, you know, it's my responsibility to make sure that they grow up and make their own decisions. So therefore the decisions that I make, you know, they see that. And I think that's what's happened in a lot of these people's lives, is they've just kind of, you know, just let the world decide for them. And their kids see their parents making those decisions or not making those decisions, and it's just a revolving circle. And it's up to us to break that chain of indecisiveness and just put our foot down and make our own way in this world and make this income and make this financial stability for not only for our family, for our children's families as well. And I think that what we're doing is such an integral part of our children's future. And I tell you what, I'm full, I'm all the way in this thing, and I'm willing to do what it takes to succeed, because I will not fail. I have my family to take care of, and that's my number one priority. So I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to succeed with this, and I greatly appreciate your help and everybody's help for that matter. So I just wanted to let y'all know that. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Richard, thank you so much. So glad to hear you on the line this morning, and truly do so very much appreciate those comments and very profound things that you've said this morning, in that it is absolutely up to us to break that cycle that does happen within the generations. And I just respect and admire that. That recognition of that, and feel the same way. That's one of the things that's driven me, is the desire to want to really set an example for my children, for my four kids, that they can do great things and they can, you know, get out there and be self-reliant and independent and be entrepreneurs as they grow up. That's one of the most important things that I want to show them by my example. Is that, you know, just what you said, Richard. So thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it. Folks, we are here at about 60 minutes into the call, so we're going to go ahead and close it out. I want to thank everyone for being on the line this morning. Thanks for all the contribution. Thanks for your commitment to yourselves and picking up the phone each morning and getting these laws, these truths, these principles into your mind. I guarantee you they'll change your life. They've changed mine dramatically. They continue to change my life on a daily basis as I strive to understand them on a deeper level and apply them. This call is very, very important for that reason. So thank you. Let's get out there today on this terrific Tuesday and make it a fabulous day by having faith, knowing where we're going, making a decision that we will get to whatever major definite purpose we have set within our lives, and plow through any temporary setbacks that might come, make a plan, take action on that plan. Very powerful principles of success we're learning here, folks. So let's get out there and make it a great day. I love each of you. I believe in you. I know that you have greatness within you. And we'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Take care, everyone.